And my whole encouragement last week was ideas of viewing God in a certain sense. Yeah. I shared my story about my uncle Ray. I have an uncle, and ever since I was young, I don't know why, he reminded me of a teenage drama character. That was scary. And so I was really, really afraid of him. So when I would visit my cousin's house, I would often pretend to be sleeping when he would come home, right? Because I did not want to talk to him. And so for many, many, many years, my relationship with him was colored by the fact that my view of him was in such a way. So I share with this big story where, you know, I was sleeping over at my cousin's house, and he purposely brought one of my favorite foods just for me. And my cousin's trying to wake me up. I was like 6 or 7 at the time. Because, you know, I gave it to him, you know, my dad wants to say anything. But I was so scared of him that I refused to open my eyes for like 20 minutes straight while they're trying to wake me up. I pretended to be asleep. Because I was so, so scared of even talking to him. And I share, like, he's like the nicest person. And he has done a lot for me and my family as well. And so for a long, long time, I missed out on this great relationship that I could have had with him because of my view of him. Not because of who he is, but because of my distortions of who he was, right? And my whole encouragement to you guys last week was, I think many Christians are like that too. That their view of God really covers their view of Christianity and their relationship with God. Hence, you know, your relationship with God is kind of dictated by things that are not even true. And so, that's why many, many Christians and pastors have always believed the fundamental thing, the most important thing about your relationship with God is your view of God, who you think He is. I share from Luke 11 that the basic thing that God is encouraging us, that Jesus is encouraging us, right, when we pray to God, is to view Him as our Father, a Father who loves us, a Father who is intimate with caring, and whatnot. And when we do that, your prayer life will change. And so from that point on, I just want to move forward and just talk a little bit more about some practical things. Let me ask you a question. Have you guys ever had a friend that you guys are really close to, and then something happened, like something not good, and so it's going to be awkward to talk to that person? Have you guys ever been there? Yeah, I've been there. And so, have you guys ever been to had a relationship where, in a group setting, it's like it's not awkward because there are other people there, but, you know, you go into a room and all of a sudden it's just you and that person. It becomes super, super awkward. You don't even know what to say anymore. Anyone? Okay. So for me, I think there were moments in my life where my prayer life, it felt like that with God. Okay? Where I used to be really close, but for whatever reason, I don't feel close anymore. So it's hard for me to pray. Or I'm okay in like a group setting like church where I'm praying together, you know, because I can, you know, piggyback off somebody else. But if it's just me and one time with God, it becomes super awkward. Like, oh, I don't know what to say. It doesn't feel genuine. It feels like, you know, I'm just forcing myself to talk to him. And so, whenever I think about that, I think about moments in my life where I have friends where, you know, you're stuck in a room and you're trying to converse, but it, you know, like, it's really awkward. It's especially worse when you used to be close and you're not anymore. And everything just feels forced. And I think that's what I want us to understand. Like, God makes it clear that He wants to have a relationship with us. And it's never a good idea for us to assume a human relationship will be similar to our relationship with God. But there are similarities in us too. And so, you know, like, I'm 35. As you guys know, I like to talk to strangers. But I didn't always like to talk to strangers, you know. Like, I used to freak out, like, when I talk to strangers, I'm like, what do I talk about? What do I talk about, you know? On the outside, I'm rather calm, but in my head, it's like making 1,000 miles per hour. But over time, I've learned to converse better and have better interactions with people in general, whether my friends, family members, or strangers. Why? Because I got better at it. I practiced, you know, I learned certain things. I learned things to do, things not to do. And just like that, prayer is very, very similar in that you can't just wake up one day and like, oh my God, you're amazing up there. I don't believe I'm talking to God. No. Like any relationship, you have to work at it. You have to get comfortable. Well, I will start sharing my deep, you know, thinking with any random person, right? We have to build trust. And then as I build trust, then I'm more willing to be more open and share more and whatnot. Just like that, I think it's really ridiculous for Christians to assume that, you know, I'm going to pour out everything to God from the beginning. It's possible. No, it doesn't work like that. Take step by step process. So, I think one thing I want to point out is God gives actually a lot of practical tips on prayer. And so today I feel like you're more practical things. It's a little weird for me because I'm going to preach messages like this. But we'll break it down, and I just want to point out a few things to you guys that I think will help your relationship with God. Okay? So let's start from verse 5. It was like this. And when you pray, you must not be like other Christians, for they love the hand and pray in front of God, as the stream wherein the name may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So number one thing is understanding about this whole public prayer and why you're doing it. Okay. One of the things I really, really enjoy, and I used to get a lot in my previous churches, I used to love hearing new Christians pray. Because after you go to church for a while, you start learning what to say. Yeah? And everyone's prayer sounds really similar to what you hear. I know a lot of people have like fear of praying out loud. I don't know why. But they do. And so, it's freak out, and you feel like you have to have some magical words. You have to know certain phrases. You have to sound like a Christian. And so, I think people really try hard to do that. And so, like, well, Pastor says this, well, you know, you can say that, you know. Or this deacon says this, so I can say that. And so, after a while, people just sound really, really similar. Similar prayer over and over and over again. But new Christians, they're like, it's just weird. Like, they just get random things that God used to hear at church or, like, at service. I remember going to one big conference. It was for pastors and a teacher that was specifically a work of youth. And that whole, the group is called Youth Specialty. And one thing that they like to do is they want to bring like a whole section of Christians into this one place and allow people to experience different types of music. And so, like, there are huge conferences, so like 5,000, 6,000 people come, right? And so people from all over the country come. And they invite different musicians and speakers to come. And part of the musicians that they invite are not like all like, you know, churchy sounding music. There are some Christian rap artists, Christian punk rock, you know, artists to come. And they just jam out, you know. And they have all these, like, I'm young compared to most people there. So, you know, all these people in their 50s and 60s are from like Indiana and Ohio, who never heard Christian rock music before, and they're like sitting there, right? And you see the shock in their face, like, is this okay? Yeah. And it's so funny, look how I went, and they had this Christian rock band coming, and they're just the weirdest thing ever. You have like four people, some are like running around with cymbals. Another guy had these huge folk bands that you've never seen. You kind of have to see that. And he's like running around, and you don't understand the purpose of him being there. Like, I don't know why he's there. All he was doing was running around the stage, right? And so, it's all going on. And at the end of that time, I think he just became a new Christian because the whole camp guy came up and he's like praying for everyone. And his prayer was just so like genuine and real. He was talking about like how, you know, when they go up before my club, there are a lot of temptations. And so, they're asking God, you know, can you help us not to fall into temptation, especially those women who dress and things like that. I'm like, okay, things that I've never heard before. But it was just so real. And I think everyone at the end of the prayer, like, you were all in agreement because everything that he was saying was just, you felt that it was in his heart. It was not just something that he was doing for show, to impress others. It was something that he was exactly wanting to say in his conversation with his father. And that's what we're talking about here. First and foremost, all the things that we do, prayer, and you talk about other things like fasting and giving, it can't be to impress others. For us to feel certain validation through it. No, it's desire to do from God. And so when you especially pray in public, I think you have to keep in mind, it's not to sound eloquent or sound like you're an amazing Christian because you have all the right words. No, it's about this conversation with God. And so he says, specifically, be careful. Be careful how you pray. You know, it's actually better for you to pray alone than in secret. He's not saying it's wrong for us to pray together as a church, but he's saying, keep that in mind, because if it's all about the wrong reasons, then that's all the reward that you get. People might think you're so holy, and God says, well, you're not sure the reward. But he says, if you pray in secret and you convert, there are other rewards that you still find. He says, your heart. What is this really about? And keep in mind, Pharisees back then, they were all about the joke. They were all about looking pious and holy and amazing. Because they love, you know, they love to receive praise from other men. And they loved it when people said, oh my gosh, this is so holy. You look like you have fasted for 7 days. So I love the way you pray. You pray for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Can I make a confession? One of my biggest pet peeves in life is when we're praying for meals, people pray for like 10 minutes. Like, we're going to pray for meals. You know, why would all of a sudden pray for Mongolian, you know, missionaries? We should pray for missionaries in Mongolia, but I don't really need to do that. They're tight. I didn't know what to talk about. Like, all of a sudden, maybe the Spirit sometimes needs you. Like, God bless you. But if you do it all the time, you know, I will put in the passage. Like, this is keep it simple, you know? Like, make your meal. What's it about? Like, Pharisees are really back at them. So I shared before, right? There are Pharisees who are known by the title meeting Pharisees. And the whole point was that they're so holy that they refuse to look at women. Because, you know, they don't want people to think that they're, you know, lusting after them. And so they want other people to know that they're so holy and pleasing God in all aspects of purity that when a woman comes, they will close their eyes even if they're watching. And the reason why they're called meeting Pharisees is oftentimes when you watch, you describe what happens. You fall, you bump into like trees and houses, and they would start bleeding, they get cut. And they would actually say, you know what, it's my bad, it's my bleeding. Like, how often am I? I was closing my eyes and I was walking right, I bumped into the wall. I would say that's cool, you know. Back then, people thought that was holy, and they would walk around like that. And so that was the culture, and Jesus said, look, that's not what we want. And while we don't do things like that, we're standing with us, you know, walking in the dry, especially for the women who walk by, hopefully I don't see that. There are different things in a church culture that happens that really, really lifts up certain people. You know, we put them in a pedestal. God said, no, no, it's not about that. It's not a part. It is about you desiring a conversation with your Father, not you looking like this holy, amazing person that is so spiritual. That must have an amazing relationship with God. And so, I just thought, like, it's cool to watch those just pray. You know, they're not trying to impress anyone. They're just trying to think as evil as possible. And they break it down. So keep that in mind. When you pray, it is all about that. Let's go on to verse 7. Verse 7 says this. And when you pray, do not keep up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like this. For your Father knows what you need before you ask them. Pray them like this. So here it is just me talking about how we often use these phrases over and over and over again. Certain churches, they have like a certain, like it's almost like you're reciting a certain thing and you feel like if you recite it, God will answer. Certain religions do this as well. Like Buddhists, they have like something that they do all the time, right? My grandmother used to do this every morning. Like I'll wake up and she would be reciting something over and over and over and over again. And God's saying, no, you don't have to do those things. And it's funny because I think the longer you pray, you realize you have certain phrases that pop up over and over again. You just get in the habit of it. And so for me, I think I say like, you know, my Lord, my God, my Father, a lot, even without thinking. And so what God is saying is like, try to just make it a simple conversation, you know. When you talk to your friends, you don't just say random things over and over and over and over and over again, right? You say meaningful things. And just like that, prayer can be such a repetitious thing that you get in the habit of the same thing without even thinking about it. And so what he says is, don't break it down. You don't have to pray for 10 minutes. You don't have to pray for 5 minutes. You don't have to pray for 30 minutes. Just make your content be focused, you know, as if you're talking to a real person about a real thing, rather than you just doing a religious sound. Right? Recently someone asked me about their prayer life and how it just feels so dry. You just feel like you're just going through the motion. A lot of people feel like that. It's understandable. I'm not sure if I shared this story, but you know, one of my old members of my church, she was going to UCLA at the time, and she was like my ultimate everything when she was in my youth group. She was my worship leader, she was my student leader, she did everything. But when she went to UCLA, just for a lot of reasons, she stopped going to church for a while. And so we're talking about that, and we're talking about her specifically about her prayer time every day. And so I was sharing about, you know, I was asking her, you know, how is it going? You know, what do you think? And so she was sharing, like, it just feels like it's meaningless. I'm just doing this over and over again. And so I asked her about her routine. And so what she had was, she had a 5-time book, and she would go through it, and she was very, very busy with it. So she would sing a song, and then she would pray. And so she had this routine. And so I suggested for one meeting, just cancel the routine and just go with like the flow. You don't have to read a book. You don't have to do certain things. Just pray. Okay? And then after a week, we check back and see if how it went. And so after a week, I called her. And we're talking about it. And I was like, how did it go? And she's like, well, I think it went okay. But I felt pretty guilty. So I was like, why do you feel guilty? And she said, when she used to go through this 5-5 book in her routine, she said she would at least spend time with God at least 15 minutes a day. Okay? So I said, okay. But she said when she went through this whole thing, this week, she was only spending about 2 minutes. And she felt like God was just upset and disappointed at her for spending less time with him. And so we're just kind of breaking it down and talking to her about it, And I was like, well, she has a really good relationship with her dad. And so I was like, let's just pretend that you're trying to do this with your dad. You went to your dad and you're like, I want to spend more time with you because I want to get closer to you. So you may spend every day together. And then you had this routine. And after a certain time, the routine just felt very stale. So you told your dad, I really want to have a new relationship with you. So let's switch it up. But it just happened that when you switched it up, you're spending a few minutes less with him each day. Do you believe that your dad would be really, really upset, because you're spending a few minutes less? Right? And so I think that for her, to kind of stay in that context, really, really broke it down for her. And it was really, really a catalyst for changing her relationship with God, right? Very similar to what we talked about last week. Her view of God was just tainting her relationship with God. But on top of it, she had a routine. She stuck by it every single day. And it was something that she did for many, many years. And I think it's great to have discipline and routine in your interactions with God. But here, what God is saying is, but don't fall into this repetition thing over and over again where you're saying the same thing, doing the same thing. This has to be it. This is freedom in relationship. So you try different things, and you say different things. And what God is saying is just don't go through the motions every single day. Don't go through the motions when you pray. But make it something that's like vital life. Something that's interactive. That's real. For me, if I had a human relationship where we're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again for a long, long time, and then it's just mind-numbing and bored after a while, I think I would really want to change things up and try different things, right? But I just thought, what if we, when it comes to God, many of us, especially for those of us who go to church, have very strong reluctance to change certain aspects and try new things. You can talk to God in many different ways, but God's saying, look, keep that in mind. Don't just go through the motions over and over again, do the same thing. Okay? Alright, with that in mind, let's come to you. Let's talk about the first time. So, he talks about the Lord's Prayer here. Pray them like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that is the Lord's Prayer that we recite. And the easiest way to break it down is this. There's three components in the A and three components in the back. And what God basically wants to keep in mind is that there are components that, in our prayer time, in our conversation with Him, should just pertain to Him. Who He is. Things of Him. And then, there are components to Him in the prayer time where it's about us. It's about our lives. How we want to invite Him to come into our lives and take part in that role. So let me just share that to you with you guys. Let's get verse 9 again. It goes like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. So you have three components, right? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom will come, and your will be done on earth. This is recognition of who He is, His power, His glory, how He is the one who has all things under control. So in essence, we're worshiping Him and honoring Him for who He is, and recognizing the right order of life, that He is who He is. And we fall into that, right? And then from verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debt, as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. So three components of our life, right? Asking for provision, asking for Him to forgive our debt, so that we may forgive our debtors, and not to lead us into temptation throughout our day. Think about us asking Him for His help in our daily lives, and having that dual component. And for me, for a long time, when I pray, it was really all about what I need. Because often I don't know what I need something. So, and so it's like, oh God, I need this thing.
is to evil.
And so having that balance is very, 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 very important. So in one sense, we recognize, hey, we need to come to Him and share about things, not share about how He delights. We come and ask for things. He's the first one person that we go to, not the last person that we go to, right? And so He likes us. But on the other hand, He wants us to understand who He is, worship Him, honor Him, and have that balance in our prayer life as well. And so, you know, I think a lot of people believe that there's a certain trick to praying, like certain phrases, certain ways of doing it. I don't think so. It's just having a certain kind of mindset. And as you approach Him, as you practice, conversations get better and better and better. And you know, honestly, if you pray for a long, long time, let's say 4 years straight, and you just feel like there's no closeness, and you're just going through emotions, I would say maybe there's something wrong with the way you're doing it. So it's okay for us to examine that. But Scripture gives many, many examples like this, where He's teaching us, don't do this, do that, try this, and you will have better conversations with me. It's kind of simple, you know? Like, for example, if you guys want to talk to me, I'll get instruction. I'll give you guys some things that you guys talk about. Sports. And don't talk to me about your team, and I will not be able to help you. Like, I'll be totally lost. Don't talk to me about flowers. I know nothing about flowers other than what I give to women, you know, when I have to. And so, talk to me about certain topics. If you want to talk about sports, it's a great topic. I can talk to you about probably any sport. And we can talk for a very, very long time, you know. And so, it's just like that. Or, I don't like it when people talk to me and talk to me and talk to me and complain, 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 complain. I like it better when people are willing to listen to my suggestions as well, right? And so, you get this flow and you understand how people like to communicate, not to communicate. And so in that same way, often God uses the Bible to tell us how you like to communicate, how you like to convert. And what's even cooler is that, you know what? There's so many verses where it says, sometimes you might not even know what to say. There might not be perfect words, but God will understand even then. And so He says, I'll make it easy for you. You know, just approach me with a certain heart, I'll come and meet you. And so I want to encourage you guys. And so, the thing about things like prayer and worship and Bible reading is that it's not just something for us to talk about, but we need to practice. We need to get better at it. And so, one thing I want to encourage us to do is currently we have prayer meetings on Friday. And we're praying about our church. And a lot of things are going on at our church right now. Big transitions. And I think the main moment for us to come and practice these things together. And for whatever reason, it's hard for you to not to be able to come on Friday if you live farther away, like I live pretty far. You don't have to come to church specifically to pray, but maybe you can set aside that time each Friday to pray for our church. Prayer is one of those things where you can't get better by just hearing from somebody. You can't just get better because it will all do the best. Now, it's one of those things you can only get better by practicing and practicing and practicing and putting in the time. One of my pastors always used to say, people always talk about having quality time. The quality time only comes with quantity time. You want to have quality time with your kids? You don't magically just trade off like quality time, guys. I mean, life changing, memorable moments. No. You have to spend a lot of time with them to do that. You need the quality out of it. Just like that. You want to have quality prayer time? It's going to require practice, effort, work, you study, and much quantity time, and do that through quality of your prayer will be transformed as well. And so I'm going to challenge this to that sense. I have a prayer here. I want to thank you for like this time. We're praying right now, this is what we talk about, Lord. And you know, I just want to thank you for guiding me through the years and helping me to go in this area. I know that there's so much more that I need to learn. I know that you offer so much more than what I've experienced. I just really hope that every single one of us will hunger and thirst for more of you, not be satisfied. I think that is one of the things that you're telling us each week. There's so much more to our relationship than what we have from experience. And so, Lord, as you invite us, help us to go to meet you there and grow in areas like prayer. I think it's one of those subjects about our Christian life where people often complain about. But you know, my question is, like, how often do we put in the work? How hard are we trying to improve our conversations with you? And thank you so much for giving us your guidance, or maybe sometimes it's about checking our hearts, making sure that we're not just going through the motions, that we're not doing it for different reasons other than for us to pursue after you. And so, Lord, give us your guidance. That's the our church is going to keep you both in prayer. And we want to especially pray for our Friday night prayer meeting right now. So pray for our church that you would use that time to bring blessing, bring guidance, and direction, and power to bless the Lord. But thank you so much for all of you here. Just stay with prayer. Amen.